The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. In this account of an appearance after his resurrection, Jesus opens the minds of the disciples to understand him as Messiah. Jesus convinces them that he has been raised and sends them on a mission to proclaim the message of repentance and forgiveness. I begin at the second half of the 36th verse. Peace be with you. They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When archaeologists go to study a culture, one of the places that they hope to find is the city dump from that culture, from that time. Because in the city dump is where you find all sorts of things, and it can tell you about those people who lived during that time. You may find bits of pottery. You may find utensils. You may find some of the tools that they had used. You may find some weapons. You may find even things like toys and religious objects from those people. And from those things, you can kind of piece together how the people lived. I kind of wonder sometime in the next 2,000 to 3,000, 4,000 years, when archaeologists come back to study our culture, what are they going to find? If they find the landfills, and they're probably not that hard to find because they're mountains, they will probably find that we are people who have an excess, that we are an abundant people, that we have much and we throw away much. And they will find all of our plastic articles and paper articles and aluminum and tin and all the things that we use and discover. Maybe one of the other places that they would love to look, if they could find it, is also maybe some of our financial records, our checkbooks, maybe credit card statements, because as you look at those things, you can see where we have our priorities and what's important to us, because that's where we're going to spend our resources, is on those things. As we look back to that time, to that day, from the very beginnings of the church, we can look back and we study that to see, how did such a thing ever take off? How did it ever happen? And is there still some of those things, those dynamics that happened in that early church, still present today? Is it still ongoing in our churches today? Is it still present within even our own congregation, of some of those things that really help that church to expand and grow? And it's amazing that it ever did, because as we read through our gospel lesson, at the very beginning, the followers of Jesus were afraid. They locked themselves up. That's no way to spread a message, is to lock yourself behind closed doors. But they were afraid. They were afraid of the authorities, that the authorities would come and arrest them and also maybe execute them. But they locked themselves up. But something happened. Jesus came in and he says, "Peace be with you." And still they didn't believe right away. They thought maybe it was a ghost. After all, people don't rise up from the dead. When you're dead, you're dead. You don't come back to life. Could this really be Jesus? Or maybe it's just a ghost. And he says, "Peace be with you." And he says, "Look, it's me. You can see the wounds in my hands and in my feet." And he showed them those wounds. And still they were starting to believe, and they were starting to be filled with joy. It says that, but even in their joy, they were still confused and wondering. And so Jesus says, "Give me something to eat." And he ate some fish, and they could see that it was the Lord. It was when Christ brought his Holy Spirit, when he gave them or filled them with his Holy Spirit, that the disciples then were able to get out and spread that message. That Spirit brought that enthusiasm and that light to the disciples. Also gave them the gifts that they needed to go and spread that message. On the few weeks we celebrate Pentecost, and we'll hear that story once again of how the disciples received that gift of language and they went out and spread that message. One other thing here that it says here in our gospel lesson for today, though, is that Jesus opened the scriptures to them. They finally had an understanding. Something within reading through those scriptures, or Jesus retelling those scriptures, something clicked inside and they knew that this was the Lord and it was true that he had risen from the dead. And from that point on then, they were able to go out and spread that good news and to bring that message of repentance and forgiveness to the people. And it and I think those things were necessary for that church to blossom and to bloom and to actually grow and to be formed. But there was another aspect to that first community of believers. And that's the key word right there is community. There was a sense of community within the believers. Last week, if you remember, we read in Acts, and we will be reading through Acts during this Easter season for our first lesson. Usually the first lesson is an Old Testament lesson, but during the Easter season, we usually read from the book of Acts and see how that early church got started. Last week, as we read through Acts, it was that passage that says that all the believers came together in community and they shared what they had. And nobody was in want. Nobody had any, was in need. If anybody had anything in need, it was fulfilled. Those who had possessions would share those possessions, or they would sell the possessions and bring the proceeds for the community of the church. They took care of one another. Now, I'm sure it was not a utopia. Everybody, I'm sure, did not get along. You know, when two or three are gathered together, or even when just two people are together, they don't always agree on everything. And if you're married, you probably understand that. If you have brothers and sisters, you probably understand that. When two people get together or more, there's always some kind of friction or some kind of debate. You know, many times it is friendly debate, but there are different aspects to life, and we see those different aspects. Well, you can imagine all these people coming together in this new community, in this new Christian church, coming together, and they came from all walks of life. Some were rich, some were poor, some were healthy, some were not so healthy. Some had great big families, others were maybe widows or orphans. They all had different experiences in life, but yet they still came together. And like I said, from different experiences, you're going to have different thoughts, different ways of looking at things, different perspectives, and there's not going to be agreements. But the one thing that they did have is that they did believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And they also believed in the message that he proclaimed, that the kingdom of God was at hand. And they took to heart all of the teachings that he had given them through those years that he was with them. And so that was their focus. That was their priority. Everything else was on the periphery. Everything else really didn't make that much difference. Your differences of opinion, they help added to that community. They complemented each other within that community. So the community was whole. As an individual cannot be whole, a community is whole. You know, this community was so much different from some of the communities we see nowadays. There's all sorts of groups around. Even back then, the Christians, the new Christians, were called a cult. They were looked at with disdain. It was maybe looked at as just a phase people are going through and it's going to die off. But it stuck around. It has stuck around to today. But there's so many other groups around today too, and some of them are quite a bit different. They come together in tight community, but a lot of times they end in destruction. I mean, think about some of these that have happened in the past. Maybe some of you remember Jim Jones incident, the founder of Jonestown, Guyana, and what happened to all of his followers. They drank the Kool-Aid and committed suicide. They ended in destruction. Or, not too long ago, I guess a number of years ago though, if you remember the Branch Davidians in Waco, of how that was such a tight, close-knit community. But they too went up in a burst of flames and destruction. And then there was another interesting group about 20 years ago or so that was called Heaven's Gate. And I don't remember, I don't know if y'all remember that story either, but this group of people, and it was a very tight-knit community once again, they believed that when Halley Bob Comet was coming over, that it was actually an alien spaceship, and that the Earth was about ready to be recycled. And so everybody needs to get off the Earth and jump on the alien spaceship. Well, the only way to do that is to lie down and to die. They too ended in destruction. You know, so many of these groups say lie down and die. Even some of those that are hitting us today, if you think on that same level of maybe something like ISIS or the Taliban, again, they're saying lay down and die. They are full of destruction, full of terror. And it's a tight-knit and strictly controlled groups. And they're so much different from those kind of tight-knit, closed communities that is so much different from the Christian community. For one, they want to be very controlling. And they're willing to do anything to get what they need. Christianity, on the other hand, says or gives freedom. Christianity gives freedom. A true freedom. Of what? A freedom, and the irony of that is the freedom is to give of yourself back to God, to lay everything on God. And from that, our burdens are lifted, and we are truly set free. Those other groups say, lay down and die. Christianity says, rise up and live. Live your life. Live your life in Christ. We have been given new life. This story of this resurrection of Christ rising from the dead is not just a story, and it's not just about our eternal life. It's not about us. It's not just about us being able to rise up from the dead once we die. This story of the resurrection is for us to rise up and to live now. To live our lives now in the freedom of God. Hopefully, as we look back to this early church, maybe we still can see some aspects within our own church of how these people were willing to give of themselves or give of them possessions in order to take care of one another and also to go out into the outside community and to help care for widows and orphans and other people out there. That they were willing to do that. And I know within this congregation we have very many caring people who do give up of their time and their possessions and their talents and their abilities and do truly care for other people. Hopefully these things are similar to that early Christian church that blossomed and grew to spread out throughout the whole world. They remembered that message that Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.